ladies and gentlemen, back like we never left, the One Piece of Mind podcast with your host, Nico White. This is One Piece of Mind. I am Nico White. Let's jump right into it. So, it's been a minute, but I need to take some time just to take a nice little deep breath, decompress, and get back on everything. And here we are again. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for listening. This episode, we're going to be discussing chapters 1015 and 1016 of One Piece that have come out over the last 2 weeks. The title of said chapters is as follows. Title for chapter 1015 is Chains, whereas the title for chapter 1016 is It's Me, Otama. Now, chapter 1015, I just want to say, for me, it was definitely 8 to 9 out of 10 chapter, just because of everything we got. So the chapter opens with Luffy still descending in the water. He's drowning. And I like this because I, like most people, truly didn't believe that it made any sense for Luffy to be doing but so well against Kaido. The reason that made sense to me is because Luffy's abilities to him are still very new. Okay, they're still very new. And in the newness of his ability, I get what Kaido was mentioning a couple chapters ago about Luffy's technique just not being right. It's perfect. So Luffy's falling into the sea. And it goes to show you that the plan worked. As far as demoralizing some people, all they needed to do was lie. Because like we know, Luffy isn't dead. This is One Piece. People don't really die all the time. But we'll get into that in a second. So Queen is on the attack. Queen bites down on Chopper. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't dislike anything that Chopper did in 1015 at all. You know what I'm saying? Some people took it that, oh, Chopper doesn't have any faith in Luffy. And I think you all should really relax a little bit. I think this is just one of those things where Chopper's the youngest of the crew. Chopper's always believed lies. Chopper has a sense of smell and couldn't tell the Soga King was, was Usopp. So just keep that in mind. This is perfectly within character, and you need things to happen to set up cool moments. So Chopper's lost a little bit of faith. He's wondering if Luffy's alive. The samurai wondering if Straw Hat's alive, if Momonosuke is okay. These are the things that they have to care about in this battle. And then we get a little scene of Sanji, Kawamatsu, and so on, running to the live floor. And Sanji's using Zoro, the cross joint Zoro. He's using him as a weapon. And he's saying that, these damn idiots, they're losing faith already. Right? We get back to the battle with Queen and Chopper. Queen's being very, very triumphant. Even though, in my opinion, he still didn't have Chopper's number. Like, I thought Chopper did a great job. The fact that Chopper's went, really, 20 minutes holding off Queen. It doesn't matter if Queen was just playing with him, like, sure, fine. But this is very, very good for Chopper, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope that the power scalers don't lose themselves when it comes to this, right? And the reason I say that is because Chopper's showing against Queen, if this was anyone else but Queen, right? If this was someone of a lower level, like if this was Cracker, I wonder if this was Cracker going up against this Monster Point Chopper that could be in his Monster Point for 30 minutes and more, I wonder how Cracker does. Because sure, Queen seems like he's doing a good job, but if Chopper takes that same energy to Cracker's biscuit soldier and flips it while Cracker's inside, I think Cracker would have a very tough day. So just saying, the opponent here matters as much for Chopper as it would anyone else. If Chopper put in the same effort against someone else, I think it'll all look a lot better and we'd all respect it more. So just for the power scales, keep that in mind. Then Queen pulls this weird technique where he adds, like, I don't know if it's because the dinosaur that he's supposed to portray is a leaf eater, but from his blunted teeth, he spawns like spikes out of nowhere, right? To bite down on Chopper. He says Chopper looks like nothing but tender venison, right? Which was just hilarious. And then out of nowhere, the goat comes in, the Yamble Jambe rotisserie, and spins Queen like rotisserie chicken. Sanji comes in, he spins Queen so hard, the Queen ends up taking the full force of Perospero's arrow attacks, right? And we get everybody reacting. We get Perospero getting smacked by Queen, who's being rotisserie at the moment. And we get the chopper praise. And Chopper asks Sanji, like, you know Sanji, but Luffy. And I love this moment. It's right here on page 8 where Sanji tells Chopper, "Don't cry, idiot. After all this time we've been together, how many miracles have you seen?" And I think that's something that's really, 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 really dope for Sanji as a character. The reason that he said that, it really reminded me of Usopp on the train when he met up with Robin. And he told Robin to believe in Luffy. That's what this moment felt like for me. If you guys listen to the podcast, then you know I see a lot of parallels between Sanji and Usopp. So this moment right here really hit the heartstrings for me. You know what I'm saying? I love good sentiment amongst characters that I know to be friendly. And he tells Chopper, "Yo, leave the dinosaur to me." He kicks Zoro off the chopper to take care of him. So we're going to get Zoro back in probably like 5 chapters. And we get Marco giving his little spiel of, you know, this is why I like the Straw Hat Pirates. Now cut to, we get back to the scene of Kaido walking in on the massacre. There was the Scabbers trying to protect Momonosuke. So Kiku is down, who I believe dead. Kanjuro is down, who I think is dead. And Kinemon, God bless Foxfire, is still alive for now. And this moment, man, this moment right here on pages 9, 10, and 11. Truly, truly gripping stuff. Because we see a scene, and I don't know, man, but for me, Kinemon is one of those characters that just, like, I'm almost getting chills talking about it. It really dawned on me how long this character has really been in the story, right? And as far as guts is concerned, I don't know too many people that have showed more guts in this story than Kinemon. Just standing straight up in front of the obstacle. We have to remember that Kinemon isn't like the other Scabbards here. Kinemon didn't get 20 years to train and for his skills to get enhanced. Kinemon didn't get that. What Kinemon got was transported to the future, as powerful as he was when he was in Wano. And he just had to deal with what he had to deal with the power that he already had. Okay? He didn't get a training arc. He didn't get any time like Luffy did to go and master Ryo. He only went in with the skills he had 20 years ago. And this dude has stood up to people that for all intents and purposes make him father. And you have to respect that. I don't know if you guys have seen the picture of the kid standing in front of a tank. But that's what Kinemon is. And Kinemon was willing to fight for his last breath. And this scene right here broke it. So you have the Scabbards on the ground. You have Momonosuke crying. Dog, we all know Kinemon's sword is broken. And we also know what it takes to be able to pierce Kaido. In order to be able to pierce Kaido, you have to have strong, strong will. And I just want to say this. The panel in the bottom middle of page 9 on One Piece chapter 1015. Kinemon takes what's left of his sword, and God knows it's not much. It's not much at all. And he shanks Kaido in the leg. If you guys ever watched wrestling, it was almost like watching Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels is beaten, but he gives that last defiant, like, "fuck you," right? Before he's taken out. And that's what this felt like for Kinemon with me. Kaido looks down on him. You know, and Kinemon goes into his flashback where you know, him and Momonosuke got to the future and they had to, you know, play along that Momonosuke was his son. And the reason why it struck me so hard is because, for all intents and purposes, since Odin died, like, Odin's best, like if this was a wedding, Odin's best man probably would have been Kinemon, right? Or Denjiro. Those were his first two top guys. So the fact that homie took on the responsibility of protecting Momonosuke the way he protects Momonosuke here, or at least tries to. I'm one of those people that definitely thinks actions speak louder than words. And I even got a little emotional even talking about this, but yeah. super, super dope moment, man. We see the flashback of Kinemon and Momonosuke struggling to learn the terms, you know, calling Momonosuke just Momonosuke, or Momonosuke referring to Kinemon's father, right? It really played up the dramaticism of the father figure that Kinemon played for Momo, even though it was a short amount of time. And man, what happens next, bro? Kaido pulls out, I don't know if it's his knife or if it's just something that, like, if it was just a sword that was in the area, and Kaido picks it up. And Kinemon says, "Run, Shinobu." And oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the line. Kaido said to Kinemon before he does what he does, he says, "What will these extra seconds buy you?" And Kinemon said, "What will their," he said, "What will their escape change exactly?" Right? And Kinemon doesn't say anything. And his last moments of what I think were his last moments, Kaido took the sword, stabbed it right through Kinemon, and said, "Face your death like a warrior. The problem with defeat is so few can accept it when it arrives." That line from Kaido, man, was so heavy. Like, even the way that it was drawn, like the specific attention, like if you look at this panel of Kaido when he says, "The problem with defeat is so few can accept it when it arrives," Kaido kind of looks like the silhouette that we got of Roc's D. Sebek. And I'm telling you, I think that the two things connected. Kaido's feelings about people and how they react in defeat definitely probably has a lot to do with Roc's and Whitebeard. More on that later. So the chapter continues. We see Momonosuke in Shinobu's arms. Shinobu is running for her life. And shout out to Shinobu because she's been running for her life for a minute now. But she's running for her life. They get to the end. And we see that Momo is still crying and he's holding a frog. Now everybody's like, and Shinobu's rightfully like, "Yo, what are you doing?" Like, that's a transponder to everybody. And Momo, like a boss, relays the message to everyone that Luffy is still alive and that no matter what, Luffy told him to tell them to keep fighting. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. No matter what. If it hurts, whatever. Keep fighting. Man, again, I don't know. Maybe I was just big on the emotional side this last 2 weeks. But when Momo said Luffy's going to win, and you get the reaction of the Straw Hat Pirates, the smile that I felt on the inside was inspiring. There's something about this manga, there's something about this group. Who knows, maybe I've just graduated in my fandom, maybe I went from being a fan to being a fanatic, but I'm telling y'all, I feel this story in my spirit whenever I read it. Oda truly is a master, because that panel on page 14, I'm telling you, I teared up. I don't know how. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I teared up. So we see Chopper, we see Frankie, we see all the non-monster trio Straw Hats in their glory. And the funny part is, they don't look that wounded. I'm just saying that I always thought the Straw Hats were going to beat the dog shit out of Toby Roper. I always thought that. I still think that. I think the Straw Hats, respectively, are going to win all of their fights. Now something interesting happens, though, because we see that Nami's climb attack can talk, and oh my god, it's Zeus. It's Zeus. He survived. He's in the climb attack. Yay, yay, happy hurrah. And then we get to the final part of this chapter, where Trafalgar Law shows up to help Kid to go against Big Mom. I just saw that happening because unfortunately I don't see Kid taking Big Mom. I actually seen him get murked. And Law is actually one of the few people that can actually be a hindrance to Big Mom as far as his intelligence is concerned. So I'm more than happy to see how that battle goes. And then to close us all out, we had Yamato and Kaido confronting each other. I just find it hilarious that if Yamato would have stayed where she was, she would have got to Kaido sooner. But hey, you know, whatever. So Yamato says, "Kaido." And it's funny, like Kaido looked up and like almost like a dad in the country. He was like, "I think you mean father, Yamato." And Yamato says, "No, I've come to cut those chains." Now, for chapter 10 to 15. Again, everything that happened with the characters, I loved. I thought it was excellent. I thought Chopper's moment made sense. The fact that Nami has Zeus now, I think that's dope. I believe that the reason, you know what I'm saying? I think the reason is going to make sense also. But when I first saw it, I definitely wasn't angry. I didn't really care. I didn't really care how Oda explained it. However Oda wanted to do it, he was going to do it. I'm just glad Nami got Zeus. I'm glad we're getting the confrontation between Kaido and Yamato. I hope that bears fruit. And last but not least, I'm so glad to be the host of this podcast. I'm keeping this episode short and concise. Thank you all very much. Please let me know what your thoughts on the chapter were. If you enjoyed it, if you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure you share it. Like, share, and subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Nico White. This is One Piece of Mind. That's been One Piece of My Mind. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Voodoo Ranger. It's beer. It's hoppy, trend-setting, innovative, served with a little sarcasm, just like Paper House Network.
Paper House Network is hoppy?
Yeah. It's like beer for your ears. Get yourself a Voodoo Ranger!